I'd like to begin with one verse in Isaiah 41. And verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. You know, I was reading these chapters, and it really struck me when I came to this verse, because we have what the thing in my heart is tonight, and we know that Israel was the servant of the Lord. We had that in later on in, I think, in chapter 44. You don't need to turn to it, but he says in the first verse, "Yea, now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen." So they were the servants which the Lord has chosen. And we know that because of their unfaithfulness, we know that and there was someone that we're going to read in chapter 42 who is the delight, who became the true servant of the Lord. And we're going to read in Isaiah 42, verse 1. "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighted, and I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Who is he referring to in this verse? Well, we have in Matthew 12, an allusion to this verse. And we know that the Lord fed the multitudes, and he hid himself from them, and he commanded them not to tell what he did, and then that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect." So in Matthew 12, we have that reference to this chapter. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, it is that servant. And how wonderful that it was the true servant that came to do the will of the Father. Now go down to verse 6. "I, the Lord, had called thee in righteousness, and with hold thine hand I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." So that servant was the one that he was going to bring blessing to not only Israel, the servant, but it was going to bring blessing to the uttermost parts of the earth, to reach out beyond Jerusalem to the Gentiles. Verse 7, "to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." Are you sitting in darkness tonight? Well, there is good news. There is one that can open your eyes. Because that was the elect, the one that Jehovah delighted to bring blessing to those that they walk in darkness. Now, we have another reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, like in Philippians chapter 2, whom being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took the form of the servant, and made in the likeness of man. So we know that that servant, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Philippians chapter 2, he was God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And we know that he took the form of the servant. And how wonderful that in one of the Gospels, like in Mark, there is no genealogy at the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no assumption. And we know that somebody that is not viable is because he's just a servant. And we know that the Gospel of Mark speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant. So let's turn to Exodus 21. And we're going to read some verses there too. In Exodus 21, this is the law for the masters and the servants given to Moses, how they should treat him. So we're going to start reading from verse 2 of Exodus 21. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master had given him a wife, and she had borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. You know, what a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ loved his master, he loved his father. We had this morning in the meal offering, the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing always the will of him that sent him. His perfect humanity for the glory of God. And we know that in this chapter, the Lord, because he loved his master, he loved his wife and his children, he decided not to go out free, but to be a servant forever. Think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ bear the wrath on the cross, And he took upon himself all the judgment that we deserve. And then he was raised from the dead, ascended up to glory. And what? That is the end of the story. He remains a man. He is a man up in glory as a high priest, glorified, interceding for us. And he remained a servant forever. He says in, I think in Luke 12, that he will sit down with him and will serve him, even in glory. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have, not only to take the form of the servant so he can die, being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, but to be a servant forever. And that's why the sign for that, it was to bore his ear. And he shall serve him forever. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ took a body upon. He took the form of this human so he can die for us. He could die. You know, God is a spirit, and as a God could not die. So it was necessary to become a man in order to die, to bear our sins. And what a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ, he will serve each one of those that they believe on him forever. Forever. We deserve that. Well, he's a wonderful Savior. So, what a wonderful thing to be a Savior such as the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a servant forever. And that's what we have in our beginning of the verse in Isaiah 41, that the Lord has chose Jacob, his servant. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, who I chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. You know, we know that Israel had failed to be faithful to the Lord. But God never forgave his promises. Think of it. God never forgave his promises made to Abraham. And Abraham was justified by faith, and he was called the friend of God. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ in that relationship as your friend? Listen to James 2:23. James 2, and the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So we have in the New Testament that God believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. That's what imputed means, to be reckoned, to consider righteous. And he was called the friend of God. That intimacy, that relationship. Because what? God, Abraham believed God. What a wonderful promise we have. Now, turn to Proverbs 17. Book of Proverbs and chapter 17. Verse 17, a friend loveth at all times. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, that when he loveth his master, loveth his wife, loveth his children, he became a servant forever. And here we have that our friend loved at all times. Because there is a very intimacy relationship between God and a sinner. Now, let me ask you something. You know, you might have a friend down here on earth and you know, maybe you come across to a really big trial, you know, but do you know that that friend might stand for you forever? That he might care for you, for your soul? You know, there is not such a thing down here on earth. There is only one that cares for you at all times, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might have so many riches and then you don't have anything. Where are your friends? Where are all those that they were acquainted with you? Now, think of this. What kind of friends do you have? I like always Brother King what he says. Are there believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have those kind of companions, those kind of friendship that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? So you can share thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the precious Word of God. Do you have that kind of friends? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ cares for you. He's interested in your salvation. He wants you to become part of his friendship, to be your friend. We're going to read some verses later on about that. And now I'll turn to Proverbs 18, the next chapter, in verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Mr. Darby rents it a little bit different. A man of many friends will come to ruin, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Think of this. You might have a big family, but not all your brothers and sisters are the same. You live in the same roof, maybe the same principles, but do you share thoughts with your brother? Do you share thoughts with your sister? Do you share thoughts with them? Or you have certain adversity? That is not so with a friend. You love a friend. You want to commune with him or her. You want to share your secret thoughts, your joys, your projects, your feelings, what bothers you, what you like, what you don't like. But that's what this verse says. If a man or many friends will come to room, but there is a friend that is sticking closer than a brother, and that is not only your best friend, but is the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to share with Him in glory, inheritance, to be part of Himself. What a wonderful privilege. Now, let's turn to John 13. John 13, and let's read from verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye shall well, you say well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master hath washed your feet, ye shall also wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now go down to verse 20. Verily, verily, I said unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receive me, and he that received me receive him that sent me. When Jesus has thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, verily, verily, I said unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was putting the example to be a servant and to do so with others. They were on the table, and the Lord was troubled in his spirit. Why? Why he was troubled in the spirit? Because he said, I said unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now, we have in other Gospels that the scripture might be fulfilled. Let's turn to Psalm 41. And verse 9. Yeah, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat all my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that Judas was going to betray him right when he chose him from the beginning. And still, he called him friend. We have Judas when he said, he that kissed him is the one. And the Lord says, wherefore art thou come? Friend, wherefore art thou come? Friend. That was his nature. That was his desire. We had this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ not only suffering on the cross for our sins, the atonement sufferings, but his feelings. Reproach has reproached me, and like this instance, my spirit is troubled. Why? Because he was feeling that sorrow for Judas, that he was going to betray him, and he knew he was a devil. He was not washed, and yet he called him friend. Wherefore art thou come? When Judas went to kiss, and in that sign they were going to arrest him, he called him friend, and he was. You know, the Psalms speaks of the feelings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospels speak of the facts, the deeds that the Lord did. But if you read the Psalms carefully, it speaks of his feelings. Like 69, Psalm 22, Psalm 88, 102, etc. Like this instance, yeah, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did on my breath have lit dry his heel against me. And now if we go to Psalm 55, I guess, in verse 12, there is another reference for Judas. Psalm 55, verse 12, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. It was not an enemy. Put attention what this psalm says. Then I could have borne it, neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I could have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We two sweet counsel together and walk unto the house of God in company. So we know that it was not his enemy, but somebody that was acquainted. And Judas was acquainted with a place. We know that he knew the place because Jesus oftentimes was there, but he didn't know the person. Do you know the person? Do you know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? So we know that in chapter 13, he said, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, so I am. Now then your Lord and master hath washed your feet, ye also to wash one another's feet. But do you know the order? It has to be first of all Lord and then Master. He says in Romans chapter 6 that when we were servants of sin, now we are servants of God for righteousness. So you confess with your mouth that the Lord is Jesus is Lord, thou shalt be saved. So you have to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord. But now reading chapter 13 in John 15 something. We're going to start reading from verse 11. By the way, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 13, 14, 15, and 16, they are well known as the upper room ministry. So we know that it didn't took so long when the Lord brought up these words to his disciples after the what he told them in chapter 13, that one is going to betray him. It didn't take long. So we know in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. What a wonderful thing that the Lord desired that your joy might be full. By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ was not only the man of sorrows, but he was always, by the power of the Spirit, doing the will of God. He was in the full enjoyment to do the Father's will. And as that, he wanted to share with his disciples that their joy might be fulfilled. That their joy might be full. Because he now was only that man of sorrows and suffering, Savior, but he was always pleasing the Father. And that's why he always was in that enjoyment, to pleasing his Father. Then it says in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. For his friends. What a wonderful verse. Sometimes in the Sunday school day, the children memorize this verse. But we know that the Lord Jesus Christ not only died for his friends, but he died for you and for me, for the worst sinner. He died for sinners. He says in one of the Gospels that he came not to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. So we know that those soldiers that mocked him, spit on his face, and they stripped him and scourge him, and did so many things to the Lord. If they later on believe on him, they were going to be his friends. Because he not only died for his friends, but for his enemies, for sinners. And you lay down your life for your friend. There are some cases I heard that many, they have died for his beloved ones, but it was not to the extent of giving eternal blessing. It was just for something temporary. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life that you might have life abundantly. Abundantly. Eternal. And to be partaker of his inheritance up in heaven. Like I said, he's become a servant forever. What does it mean forever? Not only when he was down here doing those miracles and raising from the dead and opening the eyes of the blind or healing the paralytics. But to be a servant forever. Because he loved his master, his wife, and his children. What a great love. There is a friend that is sticker closer than a brother. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your friend? Not only that he forgave my sins and I'm saved from the judgment to come, but do you have intimacy, that relationship with him, that commune with him, that fellowship with Him more than a servant. I mean, more than a master and a Lord. He revealed what the Father told Him to do, to reveal the secrets of the Father to us. And that's why we know that we won't pass to judgment, because the Lord said so. Because we are His friends. He revealed His secrets, the mysteries. Something that is unknown has revealed it to us because He's our friend. What a wonderful thing. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord? You don't know what is His will. But if you know Him as a friend, you know His will. You know, I was thinking about Joseph. Nobody could reveal the dreams to Pharaoh but Joseph. And Joseph called him I don't remember the name, but it means the revealer of secrets. And you know, Joseph is a type of Christ. He revealed what is the mind of the Father to us. We know the rapture because He has revealed it to the Apostle Paul. We know that our body is going to be incorruptible because He has revealed to the Apostle Paul. We know that we won't pass through judgment because He has revealed it to the Apostle Paul. He's been the Apostle Paul's friend, and now the Apostle Paul revealed it to us. Isn't that wonderful? Not just to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Lord, which it is certainly, but we know Him as a friend. And the promises of Jacob going to come because of the promises of Abraham, the friend of God. Remember that. Remember that. Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Therefore, he was called a friend of God. It was not because they fulfilled the law or accomplished the law, or they were trying to do something good in the religious flesh. They want to approach God in their own way. No, it was because of the promises made to Abraham, the friend of God. And the promises were made to Abraham before the law. So, how important to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our friend because He cares for you. He cares for you. And He's not willing that you should perish but have everlasting life. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I can call you friends. For all things that I heard of my Father have made known unto you. Now, let's quickly turn to chapter 17, verse 8. It says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. And I have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." So we know that the Lord has given unto them the words that thou gavest me, that the Father gave him. He has revealed him to them because now they're no more servants. They are friends. Intimacy. He wants to reveal to us the blessings of the Father. Why God told Abraham, have I hid anything from Abraham? And he revealed what was going to take place in Sodom and Gomorrah. That is exactly why the Lord is our friend, because he wants to reveal what is going to take place too in a future day when he gave us the judgments on the book of Revelation, because he wants us to know too what is in his mind. Now, let's close to James 4. We read in chapter 2. Now let's close with James 4. We're going to read in verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, it's not that you should hate the people, you know, because we are here to give testimony to the Lord, to bring into relationship to God. But it's speaking about the world system. You know, everything that is against God, everything that doesn't want your blessing, doesn't want that you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be entertainment, it could be something that can pull you out from the things of the Lord. So he says in the Word of God, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, of the world system, is enemy of God. Because we know that Cain, he went out of the presence of the Lord. And that's how the world started. But just think about this verse that we read in Isaiah. Thou Israel, my servant Jacob, that had chosen the seed of Abraham, my friend. As Abraham was the friend of God, you are the friend of God too. You believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants you to have that intimacy, that commune, that fellowship with him, to know the mind of God and to know his will, his words. And it's like somebody put it, if the servant of the house make himself friend of the son of the house, is he going to be treated the same way? You are really make friendship with the son of the house. The master will treat you the same way. Perhaps he will bring you into relationship, because now you are friend of the son of the house. So tonight, God wants that blessing to you and to your soul. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he not only has died for our sins, but...